Well, good morning, folks. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. And if you have decided to wait until the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve, to come to Gateway and see me, then you're going to be sadly disappointed because I'm not there. No, today I decided to close on Christmas Eve. I know that may sound like a radical thing from a car dealer, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to think about something else other than yourself and selling cars. And in this particular case, I thought about my employees. You know, we've had a really good year. It's been a year of ups and downs, but it's been it's just amazing how they have been able to adapt to the circumstances of this year and last year. You know, we had our share of COVID cases. We had our share of loss and tragedy in certain circumstances, but we've held together pretty well. Very little turnover, basically none in terms of people leaving in the service and parts and office. Had a couple office people leave, but they needed to. I say that in a nice way. They really needed to. But the sales department, we had a little bit of turnover, but not much. I mean, it's just been a really stable year, and I thought that they needed to be rewarded for that. So we decided to give them Christmas Eve off, and we will also be closed on Christmas, believe it or not, and on Sunday. So that's 3 days that we will be out of operation, but we'll be ready to hit the ground running on Monday. Now, some of our competitors are open on Christmas Eve and Christmas afternoon and all day Sunday. And, you know, that's fine if that's what they choose to do. If they want to work and, you know, sell cars and stuff like that on those days, I don't blame them. Now, from a service standpoint, you know, we will be closed as well. So if you are planning on coming down here to get your oil changed, then let's just wait till Monday, okay? Okay, so I do want to talk about something that's very important at the end of the year. If you're thinking about trading cars in this coming week, which is sometimes, folks, over my 43 years that I've been doing this, the week between Christmas and New Year's has been, I'd say at least 80% of the time, it's the biggest week of the year for us. Now, that could change. That could change for a lot of dealers because of just the availability of product. December has been very good, and we have had quite a few shipments come in, but we're still down a little bit. Got a big used car selection, and that's what most dealers are surviving on primarily is used cars and then the limited number of new cars that come in. You know, this microprocessor shortage, this computer chip thing, 50 years ago, that was 1971, if I'm not mistaken, that's when the microprocessor was invented. Yes, a company called Intel developed the microprocessor, and things have never been the same since. It really didn't radicalize things in the first two decades. But in the last two decades, the ones closest to us, it definitely has changed everything, changed the way we live. And heck, our refrigerators even have TVs built into them now. My watch can do an EKG on me. You know, just things that you wouldn't be able to fathom are now a part of normal everyday life. And so things change like that. We have to decide that we're either going to embrace those changes, ignore those changes, or resent the heck out of them. But that last choice doesn't do very good. Ignoring them can do good. I know people who still, to this day, don't have a cell phone, won't have a cell phone. I know a lot of people that don't use Facebook. You know, a lot of people just ignore that stuff, and that's great. You know, it's less of a distraction for them. Or we can embrace them, and we can use them. We use Facebook to enhance our business, you know, to communicate with our customers. So, I mean, of course, we use cell phones, too. I mean, a cell phone, according to the ad agencies and the auto manufacturers, the marketing departments, that is the form of access to you as a consumer. I mean, if you have a smartphone and if you go to any website or go to Facebook, they can reach you that way. I mean, if you go to YouTube, it's very likely that you will have to sit through one of my TV commercials in order to be it before, or at least you have to watch it for 5 seconds. Then you can skip it, right? But that's the portal through which we get to many of our consumers. When I first got into the business, it was newspaper, radio, and television. And we really couldn't afford television much, so it was pretty much local. And most of our business was local. If you look at what we used to sell in the early 70s, I would say 98% of our business customers lived in Greene County. And now that's about 50-50. So 50% of our sales come from people, I would say mostly regional, you know, Kentucky, Eastern Tennessee, you know, Knoxville East, Western North Carolina. That's the bulk of it comes from that, but we get a lot of customers that drive here from way off distances. You know, I've had people over the years say, well, you can't buy a car in East Tennessee. You know, they think everybody works at Eastman, you know, and of course everybody doesn't work at Eastman. But, you know, if you want to buy a car in East Tennessee, you can. If you want to save money and get a great deal, you can do that also. We have pretty much everything anybody else needs in East Tennessee in terms of automobiles, unless you want to, well, they don't sell Porsches here, Rolls Royce, Ferrari, Maserati. Have I listed anything? Jaguar. Is there anything there that you just really got to have? I didn't think so. Well, we'll take our first break, and we will be back here in a second. We're going to talk about some more differences between now and 50 years ago, and then what you need to do if you're thinking about trading cars this coming week. Just how does a car dealer determine what your car is worth? I'll give you a look inside on our side of the fence, okay? Be back in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. You know, back in 1971, the federal government was trying to rein in a few things. One of them was inflation, and it's pretty bad back then. And so they had something called the wage price freeze. If you were an adult back then, you realized that that was going on. Also, they repealed the excise tax, and new vehicle sales exceeded 10 million for the first time. Now, folks, during this pandemic year, probably about 15 million cars are going to be sold. Last year was about 12 million. The year before that was almost 20 million. So a lot more cars are being sold. The previous record was in 1968. That was about 9.66 million. I remember 1965, not because I was breathing, but in terms of how many cars were sold, I wasn't very aware of that kind of stuff. My dad sure was. He worked for Chevrolet at that time. Best-selling car in 1965 was a Chevrolet Impala, and it sold over 1 million units. It's the only car to ever do that. The import picture really was different. Back in 1971, Volkswagen was the leader. They sold 522,000 cars in 1971. You know, you think about Japanese cars. Toyota sold 294,000 cars in the United States in 1971, 294,000. I guess if you go back to the last full year, I think 2019, Toyota sold about 2.3 million. In the U.S. So things have definitely changed for the landscape in terms of, I mean, you just think about the companies that are big volume companies that weren't even on these shores back then. Or I don't even know if they were selling cars. They might have been still selling rickshaws for all I know. Hyundai, Kia. So 1971 definitely looked different. Average cost of a home 50 years ago, $28,300. Median household income, $9,028. A gallon of regular gas in 1971 was 36 cents a gallon. Cost of a dozen eggs, 53 cents, and a gallon of milk will set you back $1.18. You know, I still don't think the dairy farmers have had a good shake. It's still not a whole lot more than that, is it? So are we better off now than we were in 1971? I don't recall the 70s being all that great. I mean, the music was better, I think. You know, I think we had, that was the golden age of, definitely of rock music, I think. But some people may disagree with that. But, you know, the 70s was a transitional time in the country in a lot of different ways. In the auto industry, it was a time when we were coming to grips with new regulations in terms of emissions, and took the manufacturers a lot of trial and error to get the fuel economy where it needed to be. And obviously the development of the microprocessor in 1971 certainly gave them the capability to do that. And then today we have just amazing technology, and it will seem as archaic in 50 years from now as the technology does to us in 1971. So, you know, things are changing. You know what I don't think is going to change, though, is the way people look at the process of buying a car. Now, you know, there are some disruptors out there for sure. Companies like Carvana, CarMax, you know, was one of the first disruptors in the auto industry to come in and set up a business that was different from a car dealership, where it took away, it changed the way people look at buying a used car. You know, CarMax was, they dabbled in the new car business a little bit, but for the most part, they stuck with the used car model, and it's worked out very well for them. And then you have Carvana, which is a totally online buying experience. They deliver the car to your house. A lot of young people are enjoying that. You know, I'm never going to buy a used car that I can't drive and that I can't evaluate and smell. You know, you can't smell a car that's online. And I've seen, the reason I guess I'm sensitive to that is because I've traded for so many cars that smelled so bad, or bought cars that had smelled like they'd been underwater. And, you know, or they've been smoked in. Now, you know, no offense to smokers, but I don't want to buy a car that's been smoked in. I'm sensitive to that. So it's just something that you can't determine. And I know that you can send the car back if you don't like it, but that's not as easy a process as you think it is. You've already bought the car. You've paid for the car. And now you've got to go through this long process of getting them to bring you a different car and take your car back. And it's not as easy as it sounds. I would much rather go to a car dealership and pick one out and drive it and see if it, you know, experience the car before I make a financial commitment to it. I don't know. I mean, people are different, right? That's what my wife always reminds me of. So, you know, it's different with everybody, but I don't think that buyer behavior is going to change that much. I don't think it's changed in 2,000 years. The idea that you can get a better deal if you negotiate, especially on high-ticket items. You know, you don't go to Walmart and negotiate. You know, you don't go to your dentist and say, you know, I'll give you $50 for cleaning my teeth. I'm not paying $100. He'll probably run you off. But these are things that people... it's just a part of our economic system, the desire to get a deal, right? Now, as a new car dealer that has a used car lot, and approximately 60% of our sales are used cars, and you know we have an obligation to try to buy those used cars as affordably as possible. And who are we buying cars from? Well, we're buying cars from people who trade them in. And so we have to be able to, you know, we got to be competitive with other dealers or we're not going to trade for cars. We got to be willing to pay enough. And, but we also have to be careful, you know, that we don't make a mistake, that we understand the market, that we understand the condition of the car. You know, when you bring your car into a dealership to trade, typically, you've seen it happen. If you've ever traded cars, somebody is going to walk around your car and they're going to be looking at different things. They're going to be looking for signs that the car has been damaged, or, you know, that it's had some paintwork, or that it has any kind of mechanical problem. Because when we trade for your car, we put it through our service department. We inspect it. We identify issues that it has. If the brakes are more than half worn out, we replace them. If the tires are more than half worn out, we replace them. You know, if there's any issues, if you have a check engine light on, or a torn headliner, or you know, maybe a problem with one of the seats, a stain that we can't get out, that all costs money, and that raises the amount of, or basically lowers the amount of money that we can pay you for your car, because we've got to spend that money on the car to make it sellable. And you understand that if you're buying a used car, if you go to a used car lot and you see those defects in cars, it makes you want to pay less for them. If you don't see the defects, then you're willing to pay more, right? Now, when you get ready to buy a car, a used car, hopefully you, if you've listened to this radio show long enough, then you know that you're going to do one of two or three things. You could call me and send me the VIN number of the car you're looking at, and I could do a full vehicle history on it. I could pull the warranty history. I could do, and I'll do a lot of different things, because I don't want you to make a mistake, because you're leaning on the car guru to help you, prevent you from making a mistake. So, but, you know, if you don't call me, then there's a couple things that you're going to need to do. I want to know what the warranty history is on that car I'm thinking about buying. What if it's been a problem car? What if it's been in the shop like 15 times for an electronics problem, and the customer or the owner finally decided, you know, I'm tired of this, I'm just going to trade it? How many times has that happened? Gazillions of times, where people just couldn't get a car fixed, and so they decided to trade it. Well, they trade it in, it goes to the dealership. Dealership doesn't know it has this erratic problem, because it's not evident, unless they pull the warranty history. So they pull the warranty history. They see that that car's been a problem car. They're not going to give you as much money for it, and you shouldn't buy it, you know, if you're thinking about buying that car. So that's why you pull the warranty history. You don't get that from Carfax or AutoCheck or any of that. You know, what you're going to see on AutoCheck and Carfax is you're going to see if a vehicle has any salvage history. You're going to see if it's had, you know, how many owners it's had, if it has any outstanding recalls. You know, it's good to know all that stuff, but, you know, you're only getting part of the picture. So you're going to pull the history reports. You're going to pull, you know, you're going to call the dealership that sells that particular vehicle. You're going to give them a VIN number and say, tell me about the warranty history on this car. I'm thinking about buying it. You can get that from a service advisor. Just call the dealership and ask for the service department and ask to speak to a service advisor. And say, hey, I'm thinking about buying this car, and I'm going to be a customer of yours when I buy it. I just want to make sure it has good, clean history on it. And they'll say, well, what's the VIN? And so you give them the 17-digit VIN number, and they tell you, this car looks like it's kind of been a problem car. Or they might even say, this car was a buyback from the manufacturer because the customer couldn't get a problem fixed. Do you still want it? Probably not. So, you know, and there's things that a car could have been in an accident, folks. You know this. It could have been in a little fender bender, and the customer filed an insurance claim and didn't fix it. Or they didn't want to file an insurance claim because they didn't want their rates to go up. I hear that all the time. So they paint, they have body work done to the car, and they pay for it out of their pocket. So, you know, you're in there trying to buy a vehicle, and you pull the Carfax, and it shows no accidents. But the paint doesn't match. You know, the door doesn't match the fender. Or, you know, we're looking at your car, and you're the one who didn't get the car. You didn't file an insurance claim, and you got the vehicle fixed, and it was so long ago you forgot. And you're wondering why the dealership doesn't want to give you as much money for it, because, folks, they can see. They're used to looking at cars and looking at the signs for that a car's been painted, like tape lines around the door jams, around the gas hole door, around the trunk, the trunk opening, along the hood opening. You know, that's where you see a used car manager kind of walk around the car. he's doing an appraisal, and he's opened the door. He's feeling with his fingers around the edge. He's feeling for a tape edge. If he feels that, then he looks a little bit closer, and he says, that door's been painted or that quarter panel's been painted. That will reduce the value of your vehicle. You know, you need to be prudent about these kind of things, too. It's your money. You know, if you're buying a car in the coming week and it's a used car, check it out, please. And if you need help with that, don't hesitate to call me. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. Send me the VIN number, and I'll see what I can do as far as getting back to you, you know, within 24 hours about what I can find out about that vehicle, and we'll help keep you from making a bad decision. That's a good thing, right? Especially this holiday season. We don't want this holiday season to end bad. I'll be right back. You know, Americans will buy about 40 million used cars this year. It may be a little bit more than that because the new car availability has been low. And we'll probably hit about 15 million new cars. So there's a lot more used car transactions going on out there. And some of it is between individuals. Some of it is between an individual and a dealership or a used car lot or a new car lot. And, you know, these transactions aren't protected. If you go in and buy one and you pay for it and you sign all the paperwork, unless a fraud was committed, then, you know, somebody just outright lied and you can prove it, then you're stuck with that car. There is no lemon law protection for a used car. I don't care if it has 2,000 miles on it. If you're the second owner, lemon law does not apply. You have to be the first owner, and it has to be within 12 months or 12,000 miles for it to qualify under the lemon law. So just don't get into that kind of a problem. You know, just be careful. Get the warranty history. If you're thinking about buying a Hyundai, call Friendship Hyundai. If you're thinking about buying a Honda, call Johnson City Honda and pull the warranty history, and then you'll just be a little bit more knowledgeable. You can also see, I would ask the owner, where did you get your car serviced? And if they say, well, I went to Jiffy Lube every time, I don't really want that car. You know, no offense against Jiffy Lube, but I want the car taken to the dealership to get serviced. Now, some of you may say, well, that's more expensive. Yeah, but, you know, they're higher trained people. And for the most part, I just feel like, especially while the vehicle's under warranty, get it serviced at the new car dealership. Because if you ever have an issue with an engine or something like that, some major component, and you're just slightly out of warranty, they're first thing they're going to look at, see if you were a loyal customer and if you took it back to the dealership to have it serviced. Even the manufacturer will look at that and say, you know, these are really good customers. They're loyal to the brand. We're going to take care of them. They have no obligation to do that for you, but they will if you get it serviced at the dealership. Just another little tip from the guru. Well, I'll be back on Monday morning. I hope everybody has a wonderful Christmas with your family, enjoys being with each other. And there's a lot of those out there that, like me, that are missing some people this Christmas, and it's going to be tough, but, you know, try to look on the bright side and know where they are. I hope you have a great Christmas, and we'll see you Monday.